Thanks, Gabe. Thanks, Jordan. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about following and how who or what you follow has everything to do with not only where you end up in life, but in how you experience life right now. Whether right now you are experiencing peace or unrest and inner turmoil. Whether you are living with a sense of hope or a sense of despair. Whether you are filled with love or filled with bitter hostility. Who or what you follow will largely determine what's going on inside of you right now. Regardless of what's going on outside of you, who or what you follow will determine what's going on inside of you. That's why Jesus said, "Follow me." And when you follow Jesus, you wind up with his peace and his hope and his love, renewing and remaking you from the inside out, moment by moment, even when what's going on outside of you seems to be hopeless and dominated by hostility and despair. We've been talking about that and about how Jesus said, "I know my sheep and my sheep know me. They know and they follow my voice." And it's not a voice of hopelessness, and it's not a voice of hostility, and it's not a voice of condemnation or shame. It's not a voice of anger or rage. It's a voice of grace and love that calls you and me into his peace and security. And it generates inside of you the fruit of the Spirit, which we know as love and joy, which becomes a source of strength for you, and peace, which he said would guard and guide you, and patience, and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control, all of which is so important in the middle of the war that we're in, which we've also been talking about. I know, mixed metaphors, you know, shepherds, sheep, warfare, can be confusing. But such is the time we're in, right? I mean, we need a shepherd, but we're also in a war. Maybe we need a shepherd because we're in a war. We're fighting a pandemic, and we're fighting injustice, and we're fighting ideologies, not to mention the personal economic battles that some of us are fighting, or the relational battles. Maybe we need as many metaphors as we can get right now. Let's talk about this war this morning, because I think we're all feeling that. No matter what the specific nature of the battle, we know as followers of Jesus that the enemy is not people. It's not a person or a group of people. It's the enemy is an evil spiritual force, forces that are oppressing and enslaving people whom God loves, imprisoning them in darkness and fear and hopelessness and hate, resentment and hostility. Paul says, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." I mean, that's why Jesus said to love our enemies, because they are not really our enemies, the people. They are our brothers and sisters who are being held hostage by our real enemy. And when we love them, when we love people, truly love them, we are acting to liberate them and to free them. And our weapons are our peace and mercy and gracious love, and joy is our strength. See, all these weapons, all these armaments, these supplies are deadly against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. And the evil rulers and authorities, they know that, which is why they do their best to convince you and me that those things are weak and they're ineffective and they don't really make much difference. No, they want to sell you on more tangible weapons, things that feel more powerful in your flesh and blood hands. Don't fall for it. I mean, come on, every Jesus follower knows this. You cannot defeat hate with hate. You will never defeat hostility with hostility. Oh, but hostility feels so powerful. It feels so invincible. It's actually very weak. As my buddy Dan Christensen pointed out, any toddler can do anger and hostility. You will never defeat anger and hostility with anger and hostility. You will never defeat fascism with fascism. We all know this, right? We will never defeat racism with racism. It's our enemy's most common strategy to get us to try. And when we fall for it, we only further advance our enemy's objective. Paul says we are not fighting flesh and blood enemies, but evil, demonic, spiritual enemies. And he goes on to describe the armament and weaponry of the Jesus follower, those following Jesus. He says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So, Paul says, listen, before you even jump into the battle, there's some preparation that you need to do. Don't skip this part or you will become one of those who are taken hostage, taken captive. You need to suit up. And then he lists all the equipment. The belt of truth, the armor of God's righteousness, boots made of peace that come from the gospel, faith for a shield, for a helmet, the certainty of your salvation. And, you know, and we're all like, you know, what about a weapon? So far, it's just clothes. How are we going to defeat injustice and evil with just our clothes? For your weapon, Paul says, for your weapon, God's word. It's what God says. Whatever God speaks, that's your weapon. Well, let's break this down. A belt of truth. Why the analogy of a belt in reference to the truth? Well, in ancient times, every piece of a soldier's equipment was in one way or another attached to the belt. Everything hung on the belt. If you were in a battle and you lost your belt, your pants falling down would have been the least of your worries. So Paul is saying the truth is like a belt that a soldier wears. Everything hangs on the truth. It's only through distortions and lies that the enemy has any chance against us at all. So, in a time and a place where politicians and pundits and the media and other influential people are spinning and circulating so many lies and mistruths and distortions of the truth and half-truths, and I mean, no matter what side of the political aisle you are on, what side of the ideological line you are on, you're pretty much convinced the other side is guilty, or maybe both sides are guilty of circulating falsehoods, misinformation, half-truths. I mean, right? We all kind of believe that the whole truth is not being spoken by anybody, or maybe we do, but we just feel like, you know, we are aware that a lot of misinformation is being circulated out there. So, how do you get to the truth when there is so much deception out there? That's the question. It can be challenging. But here's what the Jesus follower knows. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth, okay? Jesus is the truth, and Jesus followers follow Jesus into the truth. Can I say that one more time? Jesus followers follow Jesus into the truth. The Jesus follower always asks Jesus in any situation, Lord, help me to discern the truth about this situation or that issue or this problem. He doesn't run out into the battle without first getting the belt of truth from Jesus. Many of the issues and challenges we are facing today have a level of complexity to them. James, the brother of Jesus, says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. If you lack wisdom or understanding of the truth, God won't shame you or condemn you for that, and He is eager to give you wisdom about whatever it is that you ask Him about, if only you will ask Him. And then a little further down in his letter, James talks about some identifying markers that assure you that the wisdom or the truth you are walking in is from God. He writes this: "The wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and is willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." Sounds just like the voice of the shepherd, doesn't it? Now, I know that sounds simplistic, and it may not fully satisfy your passion to get the real truth out there, or at least the truth the way you perceive it. But the point I want to make, and the point I believe that James is making, is this: if the truth you have and the truth you are so passionate about getting out there on a particular topic or issue, if that truth is something that generates hostility and rage and hate and violence and things like that, you don't have the whole truth. You are missing the most important aspects of the truth. When you go into battle, you need the belt of truth, and you need the armor of God's righteousness. Notice Paul doesn't simply talk about the armor of righteousness. No, he seems very intentional about stipulating it's the armor of God's righteousness. There are a lot of people going out into the battle wearing nothing but self-righteousness. The Jesus follower knows that his own righteousness is wholly inadequate. Why? Because it leaves you vulnerable to the attack of the enemy that results in a feeling of superiority, pride, arrogance. I mean, in short, you become a casualty of the enemy's strategies. The Jesus follower knows and understands that whatever righteousness, whatever goodness, whatever nobility he or she has comes not from himself, but from God. And that's also why our boots are made of peace that comes from the gospel. The word gospel simply means good news. What's the good news? Well, the good news is this: that we are all sinners. You go, that's not good news. That's just the first part. We are all sinners who have been rescued. We've been saved. We've been redeemed, not by our own virtue or our own goodness, not by our own righteousness, but by the love and mercy and grace of God. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. So wearing army boots made of the peace of the gospel, everywhere we walk, we are walking in peace, knowing that everyone we encounter, whoever we encounter, every person we engage, we are in no way superior to them. We are all fallen, flawed human beings who have been rescued solely by the unearned love and mercy of God. Paul says we are saved by grace through faith. And this is our shield, the shield of faith. Paul says this shield will protect us from the fiery darts or the flaming arrows of the enemy. Roman shields in ancient times were specifically designed to withstand and even to extinguish flaming arrows. Now, when I've spoken on this in this passage in times past, I typically describe those flaming arrows as being lies from the enemy. Lies about your worth, your value. You're not good enough. You're not lovable. You don't matter. You're a failure. You will never measure up. All these things are lies that the enemy slings at you. That's why Satan is called the accuser. It's what he does. He accuses you of being inadequate, insufficient, lacking, unworthy, worthless. And that's why you need a shield of faith, of belief, of firm conviction in what God says about you. But there's another aspect to this. In our day, in the present battle, You need that shield of faith to protect you from the flaming arrows launched by the enemy that would try to convince you that that other person, those other people, are not worthy. They are not good enough. They are not lovable. Maybe those people on the other side of the political aisle, they don't matter. You need the shield of faith to protect you from those lies. They are unlovable. Whether it's someone of another race or ethnicity, or someone of a certain profession, law enforcement, for example, or a politician or corporate executive. The thing is, they all matter to Jesus. They all have value and worth in his eyes. We dare not go into battle without the belt of truth, the armor of God's righteousness, the boots of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. God wants you covered from head to toe, from the highest part of you, you know, your head, your thinking, your reasoning, your reflecting, philosophizing, to the lowest part of you, that part which has to slog through the mud and muck of this world, that part that most easily gets covered with the elements of this earth. Now, we've already talked about your boots. Here's your helmet. Your helmet is the realization, the recognition that you need to be saved, that you need to be rescued and redeemed, and the confident assurance that you have been saved, rescued, and redeemed. You go into battle thinking, those poor souls, boy, they need help. Those poor souls, they need somebody to rescue them. They need a savior. And you forget that you yourself are a poor soul who needs help, who needs rescuing, who needs a savior every day. Again, you risk being struck by the enemy's flaming arrows and leaving you with self-righteousness, feeling of superiority, arrogant, potentially a soul who has been captured and imprisoned by the enemy. I mean, that is the battle. I mean, when we are filled with pride, we lose. The enemy wins. When we're filled with self-righteousness and a sense of superiority, we lose. The battle has been lost, and we need this armament to protect us. What is the weapon of the Jesus follower? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Literally, what Paul says is the words that come from God. That's our one and only weapon, his words, his voice. And as we've talked about, what are his words? Well, Jesus said this. Jesus said, the words of God, all the words of God can be summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law and prophets, that's the whole Bible, which is often referred to as the Word of God. Summed up in that, love God, love your neighbor. There's your weapon. Love God, love people. Love God, love your enemy. Again, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. That is a powerful weapon. You'd be very foolish to go into battle, especially today's battle, without it. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that that the battle, number one, is your battle. It's not our battle. It's your battle. And we know that every battle you enter, you are ultimately victorious. But Lord, you have invited us to be part of your army. And you haven't sent us out there unequipped. You have told us to take on the belt of truth, the armor of your righteousness, not our own self-righteousness, but the armor of your righteousness, which leaves us with a sense of humility. And boots made of peace that come from the gospel, the good news that we have been saved. And for a shield, it's faith, our faith and belief in you, that ultimately you are the victor and that we are your children. And so we are victors alongside of you. And for a helmet, the certainty of that reality, that we have been saved, we've been rescued. And Lord, your word which is always true, as our weapon. Lord, help us not to rely on our own weaponry, our own strategies, our own methods, Lord, and thereby opening us up to the attack of the enemy, risking our captivity. Help us to follow you every step of the way. You, not only our shepherd, but our commander, not only our commander, but our heavenly Father. Help us to follow you every day and to tune out the other voices, the condemning voices, the hostile voices, the voices of anger, the voices of revenge, the confusing voices, voices of condemnation. Help us to tune those out and to follow you. And we know that in the end, you win. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that certainty in Jesus' name. Hey, I have three questions of you that I want you to take 1 minute to ponder, and then Gabe and Jordan are coming back.